This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
You have to comment. I just heard that gasoline is less than $4 a gallon across, on average across the United States. Class, that's still 2x from what it was before the current administration. It's still twice as high. And we told you here at USA Prepares that this would happen. Gasoline price will come down when people stop driving, and people are stopping driving as much because they can't afford it. So they're looking at, do we pay our mortgage payment, our rent payment, our electric bill? Do we buy food? Do we buy medicine? Do we pay the water bill? Do we pay for satellite television, or do we pay for gasoline? We don't go to work anyway, so I guess we don't need the car so much. So people stopped using gasoline as much. The price of gasoline is coming down because gasoline, you can't just turn a refinery on and off and say, whoa, we had a little too much, let's shut down the refinery. It takes months to do this kind of thing. It takes months to ramp it up, it takes months to shut it down. So if you're wondering why the price is coming down, you could say Joe did it. Joe brought the price of gas down because he caused massive inflation by giving free money along with Donald Trump to people, to keep them from rioting. That's the truth. Bert's with us. Welcome, Bert.
Hey, Vin. Don't want to be Debbie Downer here, so let me give you a little good news. Gas is under $3 in Texas. Again, what's the reason? Well, first of all, let's go back and say, before Brandon was elected, gas was under $3 lots of places, but it is under $3, and you're right, though, it's come down because of, the traders that trade in oil futures have foreshadowed a recession and bid the futures prices down in crude oil, and of course, that brings down prices in gasoline. They don't always follow instantly, but they follow, and we now see widespread gas, $2.95, $2.99, all over Texas. I suspect a few other states too, right? Probably Oklahoma, and I don't know how it is over there in Missouri. But you're right.
Well, we're typically one of the lowest. But I can tell you that the Valero on Los Gatos Saratoga Boulevard, out in your little hamlet there, is $5.79 a gallon. It's not less than $3. And at the Chevron on Blossom Hill Road, it's $5.69.9 a gallon.
Yeah, if we can find gas here under $5, that's a bargain. It's crazy. And so for class to understand, why would gas be $2.95 in Texas and $4.95 or $5.95 in California? Let's just briefly discuss those reasons. So, I think there's three or four reasons. Number one, it's taxes. I mean, we have the highest gasoline tax in the country here in California. And remember, when they add federal gas tax and state gas tax, and we have the highest state gas tax, then they charge sales tax on top of that. So they actually tax the tax, if you can believe that. That's the calculation. That's how they do it. So that's number one. Then we obviously have higher distribution costs, and because everything costs more out here, so you add that to the mix. Then, Ben, did you know that we have a special brew of gasoline in California? The governor decided that regular gasoline recipe just won't do for us. don't know if it does or not, but it definitely gets lower gas mileage and it costs more. So that's another reason our gas is more expensive. But then, you know what the other problem of having a special blend of gasoline is, and this isn't always obvious to everybody. I don't know if it's obvious to the meatheads that run the California EPA. And yes, we have our own EPA in California, if you can believe that. But what happens is that means the refiners have to gear up for special formulation. Everything they do has to be special. So if there's a gas shortage, say, you know, a refinery goes down or something like that, we just can't ask for a tanker to come in from Mexico or Texas or through the Panama Canal or something, because it's a different brew. And nobody's going to tool up their refinery for one tanker full of gasoline just to send to California. It's too expensive. They'd, you know, maybe do it for an ongoing supply, but not for just some emergency fuel. So because of lack of competition, that also raises the price here in California. And then just throw in the fact that everything's more expensive here, such as the land, such as the salaries that you have to pay everybody. And people think that, then last thing here for class, everyone thinks, oh, you know, the gas station owners, they're just ripping everybody off with these high prices. Well, the fact is, most of these are small, family-owned stations, and even the ones that have big names on them, they're franchises. They're not always company-owned. And everyone thinks, oh, you know, they're making outrageous profit on the gas. Well, actually, in most cases, their business model is, we'll break even on the gasoline and try and get customers to come in and, you know, buy some potato chips or a hot dog or a sandwich or something like that, you know, some small groceries. And, you know, we'll make our profit margin on selling some additional stuff. But because gasoline, you know, there's still, thank God, some competition in the market with, you know, stations at multiple locations, they'll price their gas usually to break even, more or less, and make their profit other places. So it's a fallacy to say that these small business owners are trying to take advantage of people when gas prices go up. So it's a long answer for you then, but yes, sadly, while it may be $2.95 in Texas, it's $4.95 or $5.95 out here on the West Coast.
So in 1996, the city of Santa Monica, California, found out that two of its water fields for drinking water were contaminated with methyl tertiary butyl ether, MTBE. I believe that's the additive you're talking about. It's found in 20% of the water supply in New England.
Yeah, no, that's not the additive. That has been, I'll tell you a story about MTBE, but we just have a completely different brew that they make. The MTBE was taken out many years ago, even here in California.
But it was not taken out soon enough. Please continue.
No. It should never have been put in.
Okay, please continue.
I interrupted you there, the story I'll tell you real quick is it was discovered by accident. MTBE is an after effect of the refining process. It's basically a pollutant that they have to throw out. And some harebrained scientist, or probably not even a degreed scientist, was coming up with ways to reduce pollution in engines and found that if you took this absolutely pollutant, cancerous substance, mixed it back into the gasoline after it was a byproduct, that you'd have slightly less pollution out of your engine. But what they didn't measure is what's the effect on cancer. Obviously, he didn't have a way to do that instantly. The fact that it was extremely corrosive, would go through all kinds of metal, and so many cars that had older types of plastics and seals that they would use on the fuel line would literally disintegrate. So I was downtown in my town several years ago, just walking, literally just walking down the street, and this beautiful 1968 Camaro, restored, just literally caught fire in the middle of the street, the flame shot out from under the hood. Thank God the driver and the passenger ran out and were saved. The car, in a matter of minutes, was completely inflamed, total loss, obviously, and they later determined it was because of MTBE, and that story I just told you was repeated many times throughout the whole country. Sadly, California was one of the last to ban MTBE, but God knows how many people have gotten cancer, and it's still in the groundwater here and other places in the country.
Well, it's not just there. There are 50 states in the United States of America, and 49 of them have found MTBE in the groundwater, 49 out of 50 states. And you're talking about a car kitchen fire. I had a friend who, he really liked my old Porsche, and he decided it, I had a Porsche 914, and he liked it so well that he decided to buy one and put fuel in it, and he was approaching this little town, and they had a parade. And so he had to stop for the parade because he couldn't go through downtown because, you know, the fire trucks, the police department, you know, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, they're all there having this parade. So he pulled into an automobile dealership parking lot, and he found a spot, you know, between the cars, between the new cars. He got out of his 914 Porsche, and it caught on fire. He got out of it, and it caught on fire. And so, fortunately, the fire department was really close. They were at the parade, and they stopped the parade and put the fire out. But true story, absolutely true. So these things absolutely do happen. So what's next, Bert?
Well, a couple of things. One item is I did get an interesting story from someone on building your own internet system, that one person, and this came from England, but I believe it's happened even here in the United States, was upset with the prices getting charged for broadband, and he went and said, hey, I'm just going to put up a network for my neighbors and I, and he expanded it, and he's providing better service at better price than Comcast offered to give to his neighbor. So it's actually not that hard to do, especially if you're just going to, you know, use, you know, standard Ethernet-type connections. Now, if you want to get into something a little more complicated using DOCSIS or the cable internet system, it might cost you a little more in some initial cost to get started. But it's an interesting concept. Probably also could be done with Wi-Fi as well as with wired. You just have to be careful to adhere to the FCC regulations on Wi-Fi. And you do get in a problem where Wi-Fi was never really designed for a lot of users, so there's no scheduling system in it like there are in some other broadband systems. So I don't want to get too technical, but Wi-Fi is kind of designed for each individual to try and seize the network, you know, by looking at is it busy, and then start transmitting their packets. Whereas in a scheduled system like DOCSIS, which is your cable system, for instance, there's sort of a master brain behind the scenes that's scheduling everybody and telling them when to go. So Wi-Fi usually works fine for very, very small systems like your office, your home, that sort of thing, but falls apart when you try and use it to control a community. But it was an interesting story that...
Where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAPrepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAPrepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Bert's with us in California. He's a radio frequency engineer, patent holder. Hey, Bert, you were talking about this guy who was just frosted with the cost of internet, high-speed internet. So he decided to build his own for his little village, right? Can it be done? Absolutely, it can be done.
That's absolutely correct. In fact, let me throw this out there, and it's funny that this came up. Here at the office here where I work, we have two what are known as CMTSs. They're cable, basically the brains behind a cable internet system. And they're the last generation, so they're, you know, we have different versions of DOCSIS. So they're one generation behind, but they normally cost about $50,000 each. We have two of them here just sitting around. We had used them for demo systems many years ago when we were developing our wireless DOCSIS system at a previous company. If anybody wants one, they're heavy, and so there's going to be some shipping charges. But we have two of them here that, as far as I know, are in perfect operational condition, lots of plug-in modules. You can build a cable DOCSIS system. You just run coax cable to bring internet to anyone you want. I'll ship those to anybody who wants them at no charge, just the shipping costs if anybody really wants to do it. If you'd have to look into it, look up DOCSIS and what it is. And I'm sure because it's the previous generation of DOCSIS, the cable modems are probably available for, I'm just going to guess here, throw out $10 or $20 a piece. And it'll work fine. And you could have your own broadband system.
You might have a taker right here, USA Prepares.
Okay.
So can I build, I haven't seen this equipment, but
yeah.
I have built systems like this. Can I use this equipment, feed it, with an internet source cable, not necessarily cable, but maybe twisted pair, and then radiate out as a star type configuration for our campers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and here's the funny thing. If you looked at this equipment, it's a, you know, it's a regular type rack, 19-inch rack. It's about, I don't know, 5U or something. That's how many levels it is.
Yeah.
It has all this complexity, all these plug-in boards. But here's the funny thing. When you get right down to it, the input is just a pair of wires. That's all it is, a pair. The broadband input to it is just a single pair. I mean, there's a lot of other connectors. There's certainly a lot of coax connectors because ultimately it feeds out a coaxial cable output. But the actual input to it is just simply a pair that has the internet on it. I mean, it's just you know, basically a Ethernet connection is the input, and on the Ethernet is just really two wires. I mean, it's well, you've seen internet connectors. There's eight conductors, but really it's just two of them that are really live, and that's the input. The output is your coaxial cable, and you can star that out to as many cable modems as you want, and it would work fine. I think it's heavier than a boat anchor, though, Ben. So,
well, you know what? Seriously, Bert. Seriously.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about trenching some water lines in and power lines for the campsites. Literally, I've been thinking about this. And I was thinking that, well, we can put in the same trench in separate conduit exactly that. Exactly that. And we have a location where I can put the equipment, and it would be solar powered. Probably solar powered with an inverter and, you know, through a battery. And I could certainly make this happen. And Bart, you're talking about this guy. So please hold on to just one of those for us if you can do that.
Yep, sure.
You're talking about this guy who built this internet network for his little village. Back over 20 years ago, well over 20 years ago, I was invited to the superintendent's office. And I was a consultant, computer technology consultant for several counties in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And one of the superintendents called me up and said, "Hey, Vinny, can you come on over? And we got the presentation coming in from a telecommunications company, a local telephone company, and they are putting in fiber, and they are going to make fiber available for our schools." So I was sitting through this presentation, and it was going to be $25,000 a year rent to use the fiber that was running between the schools. And after the meeting was over, I had a private meeting with the superintendent. I said, "I can do that for less than $5,000, and you'll own it." And that's what we did. So I built one. We'll be right back.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Upholding the rule of law means applying the law evenly, without fear or favor.
U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland. Representative Scott Perry, the Republican from Pennsylvania on Newsmax, has a problem with Attorney General Merrick Garland, as the reality of Mr. Garland's actions paint a different story. A story of weaponizing the FBI and Department of Justice to persecute their political opponents.
That's not the impression anybody in America gets. They've watched this saga continue with Hunter Biden, and of course it goes right to President Biden. They've watched James Comey, Hillary Clinton. They've watched every single Democrat they know of, every single person on the left get a pass for every single thing under the sun. Meanwhile, they've watched every person on the right, including your hardworking citizen who's a voter, be persecuted by their government, by their Justice Department.
USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Without understanding the fiscal impact on the American people, House Democrats forge ahead with the Manchin-Schumer social spending and taxation plan called the Inflation Reduction Act, which is considered by many to be misleading. The bill will add 87,000 new IRS agents. According to the Congressional Budget Office, says it will be weeks before an updated analysis can be completed on the bill. The unthinkable. The weaponizing of the judicial branch of government against their political opponents is being raised in America. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham on Fox News expresses the outrage.
Here we go again. I lived through Crossfire Hurricane. I lived through the Mueller investigation. The FISA court rebuked the Department of Justice for providing false information to the court to obtain a warrant against Carter Page. Is it plausible the same people would be going after Trump again 90 days before the midterm? So the pathway for President Trump to become the nominee is much wider now than it was yesterday. The likelihood of him being reelected is greater than it was yesterday, because if you got something that is really so compelling, you had to go into the man's home with guns drawn to get the information. Tell the American people, to every Republican listening to me, we should be clamoring and demanding answers to the questions of why they had to raid President Trump's home 90 days before an election.
Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
It's gonna be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why are
God, you're take my new gummy seed for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Class, that meeting I was telling you about with the superintendent in Virginia, superintendent of public schools in Virginia, it's kind of like one of those Elon Musk-type meetings where he's meeting with NASA, and the contractor says, okay, it's going to cost X amount of money, and Elon Musk looks at everybody and goes, I can do it for less than that. And then he does. That's exactly what happened. So instead of $25,000 a year rent forever for this fiber optic connection, I built a microwave system for less than $5,000, probably closer to $2,000. And the school system owned it. They owned the equipment. I taught them how to, I had a crank up civil defense antenna system that's 45 feet tall. It went on the back of a truck. And I sold it to the school system for $400, which is probably one-tenth of what it would cost. And we installed it, and it worked. So, yes, it can be done, and yes, you can do it. All you have to have is the desire to do it. So had I ever done that before? No, I never built a microwave system that competed with a local telephone company. I never did that before. But I was so outraged at the amount of money that they wanted to charge, that I did do it, which is exactly what this guy that is in the article that Bert's talking about. They wanted to charge him $50,000 or $60,000 to connect to the Internet for his location. He said he wasn't going to do it, so he built his own. That's what USA Prepares is. That's who we are. That's what we do. Back to you, Bert.
Yeah, and, you know, the story with Elon Musk is a interesting one. He basically said, I can build this new rocket for a quarter of what you guys are proposing. And they all laughed at him and said, young boy, you know, and he was new. There was executives there from Boeing, Martin Marietta, Lockheed Missiles in Space. And they just said, you know, sit down. We invited you here, but, you know. And he goes, well, not only can I do it for a quarter of what you guys are proposing, but I'll make the rocket reusable. And they laughed at him, and of course, that just incentivized him to do it more so. And he came up with a proposal, and NASA decided, what the heck, let's, you know, probably going to flame out and you know, using those words in more ways than one, probably he'll just flame out and burn up, but let's, you know, indulge him. And, of course, it worked. And, you know, they had a few missiles that did blow up on the launch pad. That happens when you're experimenting. But it worked, and SpaceX is building those missiles and launching many satellites. A lot of people say too many satellites, right, because we're sending up all those small satellites for his Internet system, which there's now some new studies saying it may not be as cost-effective as the initial study showed, that, you know, putting up those little micro transmitters in low Earth orbit. But the rocket's working great, though, Vince.
Yeah, and there's a guy in the 40s. His name was Werner von Braun. He was on the other team. He worked for Adolf Hitler, and he was an expert in rockets and missiles blowing up on the launch pad or very shortly thereafter. Yep. So, yes, it's happened since the history of rocketry. What's next, Bert?
Yeah, and by the way, throw out Howard Hughes, too. He was a pioneer in building different types of aircraft that they said would never work, and he created a lot of interesting aircraft designs and helicopter designs and different aviation, and he was so good at all that, Vince, the CIA asked them to go take over Las Vegas because they were decided the mafia had gone as far as they should. So the aerospace guy went in and took over Las Vegas. People might forget that. It's now run all by big corporations, but he got involved there, too.
You know, you mentioned Lockheed Missiles in Space. I don't know if you know this, Bert, but Mrs. Fennelly was brought on as a leader in software development for Lockheed Missiles in Space, right out where you are. Did you know that?
I did know that because that was her day job when the rest of us were working on our satellite, home satellite systems that we were manufacturing at the time. That was Mrs. Fennelly's job. Probably she had security clearance, I'm guessing.
You know, that was one of the things that we should probably talk about. 1 + 1 + 1 does not necessarily equal 3. It might equal 20. You want to talk about that?
Well, you know, I think we got a lot of interesting things done, Vince, because we had three different backgrounds, personalities that complemented each other. So, for instance, you just loved working on the factory floor, probably still do. You know, you don't have enough factories out there on the farm. Maybe you'll have one soon in the sense of supplying the campground with food and refreshments and things like that. But you were instantly attracted to setting up our production system. I was obviously involved a lot in the engineering and design of the products, and Andy was sort of like our marketing guy, the one that would go lead the trade show seminars and evangelize the product offering and you know, head up a lot of the open houses we had. We had, even though we were manufacturing for selling all around the country and actually the world, we decided at one point to have an open house so that people living in Northern California could come in, learn about satellite television, and put a system in their backyard. And Andy was in charge of that. And so it worked out really good because three different personalities complemented each other. And you can look at other companies where that happened. The best example being Apple, and I'm not trying to compare ourselves to Apple because that's now the largest corporation in the history of the planet Earth. But in the early days, they had Steve Jobs, and he was sort of like the, you know, the one that evangelized and came up with ideas and could kind of see the future. Then Woz, who was the designer and really a great engineer, but none of that would have worked if they didn't have the business guy, because neither of those two people knew much about business, especially in Silicon Valley. So they had Markela, who had recently retired from Intel as a marketing executive, and he came over and ran the business end of things. And, of course, they went on to history, and but really they didn't become number one until the second chapter. We'll save that for another day, when Steve Jobs got kicked out of his own company, came back on a lark by somebody on the board. He was, I believe, an oil or chemical industry executive from the East Coast. He approached Steve Jobs and said, "Steve, the company you founded and you love will be out of business in 90 days unless you come back and save it." And by then he had already licensed his software from Next to Apple. In fact, I think Apple was basically buying out Next, and Steve was busy working on another project, Pixar, with Disney. But this member of the board convinced Steve to come back. They thought it would just be, you know, for a year or two, but it ended up being for the rest of his life. And then that's the second chapter of Apple, how Steve made it great again and saved the company. So, and he did have other people he collaborated with, again, in his inner circle that helped get everything going again. The, you know, the engineering people. And this time, though, Steve had learned business, and he was running everything from the top. So, fascinating story.
Are you talking about a guy named John Scully, who was a Pepsi-Cola Corporation former executive who came over to Apple and brought his skills with soda
and
destroyed
that
the company?
And, of course, Steve regretted, you know, Steve admits that he was naive in business in those days and thought Scully would be the great businessman, because Markela wanted, for whatever reason, wanted to retire as CEO. So they interviewed, they brought over Scully, thought he was the greatest thing since sugar water, and what a flop. And you know, that's another story for another day, Vince, because Scully actually went on to join, after leaving Apple, went on to join another company that turned out to be a complete fraud. It was in wireless communications, and they hired him. And because he had name recognition, he realized they were a bunch of crooks, tried to resign, and then they sued him, saying, "You can't resign because our entire fraud is dependent on you being our new CEO." A fascinating story, but turns out Scully, I mean, he was a nice guy, but there was nothing really upstairs. And, you know,
you're talking about wireless, and even Disney. Wireless charging. Even Disney was involved in, hey, we're going to have wireless charging at Disney. And they were promoting this. It made the news that they were going to do this. And it doesn't work. It works, but it's so inefficient and it's so dangerous, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and that's not what Scully was involved in. He was involved in a wireless a company that was producing wireless modules using a supposedly fantastic technology they had invented, and they owned all these patents, and it was basically smoke and mirrors. But wireless charging, Vince, is something we've talked about often, and you have to really understand that the energy in most wireless signals is so small that wireless charging almost always is just not effective, because there's just not enough energy to harvest. if you wanted enough energy to harvest, it would be probably deathly, the level of power you would need. And in any case, no matter what the level of power is, whether it's effective or not, it's very inefficient. You know, usually only 1 or 2%, if you're lucky, of that energy field ever makes it into charging a battery. So it's just not a practical way to do things. So, you know, and I'd say the only area where it maybe makes sense is if you have a very low power sensor, things that just, you know, keep track of inventory or just monitoring, you know, let's say pollution at an oil facility, and they need very little energy, they don't transmit that often, they can harvest some energy just out of what they can receive. And it's a very low duty cycle, very low power. Something like that makes sense. But to try and say you're going to charge a cell phone in your pocket by walking into a room, the only way that could work would basically have a power level so high it would kill you before your phone ever got charged. And in any case, like I said, it's just not efficient. And sadly, there were a bunch of companies that promoted wireless charging recently. And, you know, I've spoken about some on the air. They were basically based on a fraudulent proposition. But people that don't understand how inefficient wireless charging is fell for it. And some of these companies went public and sold stock. And sadly, obviously, the shareholders lost their entire investment on these schemes.
It brings to memory Nikola Tesla when he had this wireless electricity transmission, and he set up a real powerful transmitting station and a receiver 20 miles away, and he burned some buildings down in between, the transmitter and the receiver, because of the amount of power that was going through the air. True story. We'll be right back.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
Bert's with us. Hey, Bert, you know, lithium, we're talking about technology. Lithium-ion batteries are being reported as an emerging top risk for many businesses. This has been reported on the Internet. And as many as in 5 years, 25,000 incidents of fires or overheating because of lithium-ion batteries have occurred, and there have been 40 significant fires. And you mentioned that one of your neighbors in the village in Los Gatos had a fire and is charging his golf cart, and it burned down the golf cart, the carport, and the vehicles next to it. So yeah. There are plenty of stories about lithium, and there was a video that our son showed us last night, and this guy took an EverReady Energizer lithium battery and cut it open, unrolled the foil, if you will, of lithium, and crumpled it up and put it in a pan of water, and it caught fire.
Wow!
So it seems like the worst thing you can do is take if you have a fire. Take a fire hose and put it out. And that's why it takes like 20,000 gallons of swimming pool full of wire to put out one Tesla.
Yeah.
Literally.
And you know, there are other battery technologies besides lithium. People are focused on lithium because it has a higher power density, and everybody wants to, you know, put in there's a competition to get the highest range for electric cars, you know, 200 miles, 300 miles, 400 miles. So in order to do that, you got to get the batteries to be more efficient in terms of their power density. And that creates this race, and it's all centered on lithium. But I know, Vince, on the Finelli farm, you're using technology for your batteries that have nothing to do with lithium, and they work great, and they're safer. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's a better technology. Can you fill the class in on that?
Yeah. Yeah, and we use nickel iron batteries developed in the laboratories of Thomas Alva Edison somewhere around 1906, and no one knows how long they last because they're still going. So it's completely different. It's not like a disposable battery or disposable cells. They last as long as the case will last. So if you have a good quality case, and let's say it lasts 300 years, your battery cells will probably last 300 years or more than that. You might have to get new plastic cases. But here's an interesting thought about electric vehicles. So what happens Has anybody thought about, you know, let's say there's a massive, massive threat, storm. Storm's coming, and it's going to hit Florida, and people say, okay, we got to get out of Dodge. We're going to have to evacuate. And they've got electric vehicles. So now everybody goes, well, shoot, I only have a half a charge. So they all start charging their electric vehicles. It won't work. There is not enough grid capacity to charge the electric vehicles for people to get out of Dodge because the storm's coming. Think about that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, there's another problem, too. What if they get flooded and the floodwaters sometimes can cause things to go wrong inside the car and the batteries actually to catch fire? That's happened before. If you remember in New York City when they had that storm confluence, the cars were parked very close. The salt water got in and caused shorts, and these cars were burning while they were being flooded, which it seems like it couldn't happen, but it did, and they lost hundreds of electric vehicles that were parked in a lot. You know, they'd just been taken off the cargo ship and waiting transport, and the storm hit, and these cars burnt up while they were being flooded in a rainstorm. So, I mean, there's a lot of pitfalls with lithium batteries in particular. Vince, real quick, we only have a minute or two. Can I recall a story that I just received from a listener?
Please
from
do.
A class member? So, got this letter, and they said, Bert, you were talking about, do we need to ask aliens for help? And he said, back in the 60s, that happened. A alien spaceship landed on the Earth, and they were carrying a book that was to help man, and they were going around. They cured a lot of diseases. They taught us to stop fighting each other, and we ended war. More importantly, they caused us to grow more food, and we became, basically bountiful, and we were multiplying, and there was peace and harmony on the planet. And the aliens, this happened in the 60s, they were carrying out around a book that said to serve man, and it looked like it was paradise on Earth. And Vince, that was probably the second most popular episode of The Twilight Zone, if you remember.
Yeah. Yeah, Rod Serling was absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And he is sorely missed. Absolutely. He was a pioneer in out-of-the-box thinking and potential for the future. Rod Serling, The Twilight Zone. Actually, we're living in the Twilight Zone right now. It's really, really scary. It's really dangerous, class. Please, please meet with your family. Figure out what you need to do for food and your own survival, because your life depends on it. Nothing is working right. Everything's broken. Bert, thank you so much for being with us and sharing time that you'll never be able to get back.
You got it.
With our class. I'll see you, Nate, next week, same time, same station.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Bert.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.